Argument is at the heart of our democracy. Such conflict is widely held to be a strength of American society. But sociologist Amitai Etzioni believes culture wars in recent decades and hardened political partisanship are threatening our future. Etzioni is a professor of sociology at George Washington University. He leads the communitarian movement. Communitarians describe themselves as part of a moderate counterculture seeking to find consensus on core values. As Etzioni explains in his new book, Next, The Road to a Good Society, community involvement should be based on moral expectations rather than legal obligations. While many Americans disagree on the definition of morality, Etzioni believes that we can find common ground.
First of all, there are certain values which we all share in the sense that we ensconce them in our Constitution. The Bill of Rights, in a sense, is a set of values where we agree to kind of shake hands on them, and there is no majority which can overrule them because they're the essence of our society. Now, second, on things which are not covered by the Constitution, we do talk to each other as a community, and we reach shared understandings. So, an example, in the 1950s, we had no idea that we had any moral obligations to the environment. It was not on the map. I mean, it's not people were bad or good about it. They didn't think about it. And then we start with Rachel Carlson's Sun and Spring, with a book like Betty Friedan and such, and Ralph Nader. And then we had what I call a billion-hour buzz, where people all across the nation, over coffee and at work and commuting, talked about this new issue. When it dust settled, we now have a shared moral commitment to Mother Earth. We still differ a lot about the details, but I don't know anyone, and I travel quite widely, who would want to go back to the 1950s.
But the values that you talk about, interestingly, if you compare it to a consciousness about environmental issues, the values you talk about are ones that perhaps we had at one time, or that we shared, a sense of community, a sense of obligation to one another, which seems to be lost. Am I characterizing that correctly?
Very much so. In the 1950s, we had a strong set of values, and they had many communitarian features in that sense, that we had clear obligations to one another, but that society was discriminatory against women. It treated women as second-class citizens. We treated African-Americans as at least not citizens, maybe not as full-fledged human beings. So what we did, we destroyed, for good measure, that all shared understandings. And the problem we saw, that's what kind of got the communitarian movement going, is that we need to fill the vacuum. And what happened then in the 1970s and 80s, the religious right came and said, all right, we understand you are anxious. We have answers by the book. We're going to tell you what to conduct yourself. And we, I think, I'm fair in saying, we're the only competition which said we are willing to talk about values, and I think we should. Virtues are an appropriate subject. The future of the family, character education, obligations are an appropriate subject, but not on those given foreclosed authoritarian answers. We should have an inclusive, open dialogue about them.
Where do we begin this discussion?
There is a fundamental question for those of us who are privileged and affluent, and I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about the poor or even the working class people. When is enough enough? I mean, how far do you want to go in not going home to your children, not have time for your friends, not have time for culture or sunsets or anything, because you bill 2,000 hours if you're a lawyer, because you take clients to the golf course and such? That conversation we had in the 60s on the counterculture, again, it went overboard. And we now need to bring back, I think, what I would like to call a moderate form. I think if they ask that question, I think people will sober up.
You talked about in your book, the fact that family should be the first provider of social welfare, of social help in this country. Explain that for us.
Well, the easiest way for me to make this point quickly is to go to another country, to Germany. Germany, like we do, discharges people from hospitals earlier than we used to, sometimes after a child is delivered, after 1 or 2 days. Mm. Now, when you come home then and your friend comes over to help you because you can't manage on your own, the Germans will send a check to the friend for being a friend. Oh. Now, let's talk about that. Yes, we can do that. Of course, it means raising more taxes because this money doesn't come from heaven. But in the end of the day, in a human society, we need to do some things just because these are our children. These are our parents. These are our friends. And if everything goes to the cash register or to the tax, I think we're losing something very important.
But you also say that the community shouldn't be based on voluntarism, but mutuality?
Yeah, no, voluntarism is wonderful, but it carries only that much. When we are acting for each other, so the American tradition, all tradition, of saving and loan associations, this is not charity. This is not doing something for the have not. Is we all together put some dollars into a nest, into some kind of box. Mm-hmm. So who knows who will need it, and then we help that person. That's mutuality. That is not some kind of a good deed. I'm all favor of good deeds. But there is a difference between relying on altruism, which, to be honest, is in short supply, and relying on the fact that we, as members of families and communities, have each other's interest at heart. So I think it's a sounder basis if you want to have a heavy-duty community.
Now, you also say that, what you seem to be saying, though, is that in some ways we would have to sacrifice what appears to be in our immediate interest for something that we might call the greater good.
Yeah, well, no decent society can be based on self-interest. We always need to have a profound realization that we have some what's called common goods. The most obvious one is the environment. You know, I could dump things at night into a lake, you know, and the lake is big and it may take some years before you will tell, and everybody may do the same. And you really cannot show that the ocean, at least in my lifetime, you know, will be filled to garbage all the way up, you know. But for our children's children, for other human beings. So, yeah, we have to do some things for the common good and not only for our own interests, our own community.
Amitai Etzioni is professor of sociology at George Washington University and author of the just-published book, Next, The Road to the Good Society. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.